We're next going to go into a series entitled Holy Moses. We're going to look at the life of Moses. And then in fall, we're going to do a series called Soul Food. And I'm probably going to mention a little bit in the message today as well. There's a lot of ways that our world can be upside down. Last week, we talked about some things with finances. And we talked about, some people have homes that are upside down. Mortgages are upside down. There's a lot of things financially that can be. Last week, we talked about being givers and takers. And that often one of the ironies is that the people who are really givers think that they're takers and think I'm not giving enough. And often the people who are takers think they're givers and people just aren't giving them enough. It's just kind of an irony, and Matthew 25 supports that. I want to talk today about one aspect of giving, because I think as Christ followers, we want to be people who are givers, because Christ himself is a giver. God is a giver. And so this morning I want to touch on this whole area of what we might call burnout. And there's some different things that I could say about this concept. And let me just mention a couple things, and I'd like you to think of some things that will indicate to you from your own world, how do you know if you're burning out? How do you know if somebody around you at work is burning out? How do you know if your spouse is burning out? What are some of the signs, okay, of things like that? I just want to mention, I did a little research on it this week. Burnout could be described as an exhaustion, a lack of enthusiasm, a lack of motivation, cynical thoughts and behavior. Now, I want to mention something else with this, that there are people who are on giving professions. You don't have to, it can be related to personal relationships. It can be a carryover from the different things at work. There's a lot of us who are in giving professions, nurses, teachers. Police officers are, firefighters are, social workers. Lawyers are listed as givers. I know some of you'd be like, that's not been my experience, okay, but they can still be prone to burnout. There's a lot of people who give. Now here's the part that I find really intriguing, just a little research that I did. The people who are most prone, most vulnerable to burnout are people who are strongly motivated. And also people who are strongly dedicated. It's the opposite of what you might think. You might think burnout and apathy would be amongst people who don't care. The reality is it's amongst people who really desperately, deeply care. But something happens and moves it that motivation aside because, well, and we'll talk about that. What are some signs that you see with people? And I'm not suggesting, by your saying something, you're not saying it's you, you're not saying it's your spouse, okay? But what are some signs of burnout?
Negativity.
Okay, negativity. Just raise your hand so I can call on you so we just get somebody else. Yeah.
Discouragement.
Yeah.
Frustration.
Okay. I hate claustrophobia. I'm a large individual and I don't like tight places. Especially when I'm really stressed. Yeah, all the way in the back.
Overwhelmed.
One of the ways that I think of being overwhelmed, and I was almost going to do this little thing, but then I just thought we could just describe it, is you got your cup, it's full, and then somebody else comes along with the cup, and they just dump everything from their cup in your cup. And not only can you not contain what they just poured in, it messed up everything that you had. That's how I think of overwhelmed. Does that work for somebody else? It's like, yeah, that's it. I know that I'm burning out when I start looking how to get an assault rifle, okay? I mean, that's just a sign, okay? I don't like guns at all. Anybody else? I'm kidding. That's a joke, okay? Don't call the police or anything. Yeah, Mikey. Marianne. Okay. Certain forms of depression. Yeah, Amber. Fed up. You can tell sometimes. What some of the little things for me when I know that I'm getting just a little bit frayed on the edges are when the phone rings and it's just like, you just would prefer it to not ring. Just stop. Sometimes a really good thing for me is when it only goes three times, because that means it's a text. I can deal with it later, okay? It's not a phone call. I don't have to deal with it right now. Anybody else? And then we're going to take a look at some things that I think Jesus has to say about this. We got several hands here. Yeah, Joe. No, you don't. Okay. Couldn't resist that. I'll give you your $5 later. We set that up. No, we didn't. Yeah. Impatience. Yeah, Jim. Different focus, focusing on the negative rather than the positive. It's easy to do. One of the fun things when somebody, I remember years ago we had a teenager and I was just teasing her, but I said to her mom, I said, you know, Becca is just always arguing with me. I am not. And she just fell right into it. It was perfect. It's just a fun thing to do. She knew I loved her, so it's okay. Anybody else? Letting your appearance go. Yeah, like maybe for me, wear the same clothes 7 days in a row. It's like, that's a sign. It's just a sign. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marilyn.
Fatigue.
Yeah. Never. Not able to sleep at night. Tired as can be, but you can't sleep. Yeah, Alvaro.
Hopelessness.
Well, you guys got a good list here. I think burnout is something it's pretty real. Let's take a look at what Scripture has to say on some of these things, and we're just going to walk through some different guidelines here. Let's just take a moment and pray. Father, I believe that your people want to be givers. And something short-circuits that in the middle because we give and then we're empty. We feel we have nothing more to give. I pray today that you would give a few handles to those of us who'd say, I think I'm burned out right now, or I'm well on the way there. Father, I pray you'd give us some handles from your word that we could hold on to, and that you'd give us rest, you'd give us strength. Fill us today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was looking up some of the other things, and I didn't want to go through all these before you mentioned some, but in a work situation, unclear requirements in life, that is not fun. And I feel that people get that from church sometimes. We feel that God has given us unclear requirements. And so we feel we can never please God. If you don't know what he expects, how can you give him what he wants? It's frustrating, isn't it? It can lead us to the point where we just don't want to care anymore. Impossible requirements. Church can be guilty of that one too. High stress level with no downtime. I'm leading towards something here. We need downtime. There are times where we need to be away. We need to be away from the things that are stressful. Each and every one of us, we deal with stress. And I know some of you are just like, well, yeah, this is really easy, but simple, but I'm a single mom. I don't just get to leave the job. I'm on the job. And on top of that, I have a job, as well as being a single mom. There are all sorts of different things that press in. But we've got to find ways to be able to receive, and also ways that we can get away from some of the things that are bringing us down. But it's givers, not takers, that are prone to burnout. And sincere Christ followers are prone to burnout. And then sometimes church will make us feel guilty because we're feeling burned out. That's not where we're going today. That's not what we want to do. Now the first thing is, and I hope you receive this, it's real simple. And you knew it before you came in, but some of us need to be reminded. You are not God. You're a human being. And you cannot give without measure. You can only give what you've received. Only God can give without measure. Even Jesus. See, I could say, well, Jesus is God. He is, but when he was on earth, he was fully human. That's good theology. It's called the homostatic union, that Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. We don't fully understand it, but that's the best theological position from the New Testament that we can come up with. But because he was fully human, Jesus would get up early in the morning and he'd go hang out with his Father at a quiet place. Why? Because he needed to receive. People, some of us need to understand it. We just need to receive. How do we receive? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And you know what? Different ones of us receive different ways. So there's going to be different paths for different ones of us. There are certain things that I do to replenish myself that aren't going to work for you. Not all of us are going to just be able to read Scripture, read a chapter of Scripture, and bingo, I got something today. Sometimes we need to change it up. Some mornings, I take my Bible, I go over to Chick-fil-A, and that spicy chicken burrito, overlooking Rice Lake and Wheaton with my Bible, Jesus is in it. I'm telling you, he's there, and that helps me. But folks, sometimes we need to do, nature works for me. I love to hike through national parks. It lights my jets. Now, some of you would be like, this should wear you out. But not for me. I mean, yeah, I'm physically tired. We need to figure out the things, and at some point, I don't know exactly when, we're going to look at some different things, because different ones of us grow different ways spiritually. There's not just one spiritual path to growth. We tend to just always hammer home, read your Bible and pray. I've been in the church for a while, and no matter what the problem is, ultimately, you can always bring it back to read your Bible and pray. How many of you have heard that, like, to the point where you don't want to hear it one more time? Just read your Bible and pray. Folks, sometimes there are some other creative things that we can do. There are some things, but we're not God. Even Jesus himself had to spend time with the Father and be filled. What are your spiritual pathways? Is it through nature? And I know some of you are thinking, oh, that's really nice. Like, I can just drive to a national park every day. I can't do that. But there's creative ways that we can do it. There's different things, ways that we can connect with nature right at our house. Most of us have some avenue, something that we can see. Whatever it is, we need to figure out what our spiritual pathways are. And that's not the message this morning, but we will take some time for that at some point, probably over the summer. What works for you? This is between you and your Creator. If you're finding yourself depleted, run down, tired, worn out, and you see these different things, we need to figure out the things that work for us that are going to replenish our souls. Let me ask you this. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 4. Do you sense living water flowing out of you? The only way you can get living water in you is to be connected with God. He's the one that puts it there. You're not God, and we don't control circumstances. So difficult stuff's going to come our way. I'm no expert in the Greek, but there's a term in the New Testament. It means to remain under. The word is hupomeno in Greek. And what it means is that there are times where we would really like our circumstances to change. And we'd, any time, God, please lift this. And yet it just seems to stay there and we remain under. And God will give us a grace that goes along with that hupomeno, that we remain under things that we don't want to be under. There are circumstances, there are things outside of our control, but because we care, they affect us. He wants to give us grace in the midst of that remaining under things. In the midst of that hupomeno. In John chapter 7, if you have a Bible, you can open up there. Here's what Jesus said in verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So that's another thing we put on Christ followers. Oh, you should just be overflowing with living water. And there are times some of us would say, I feel like a tumbleweed. Okay, I do not exactly feel like a spring of living water. But we need to go back to the beginning. Sometimes we start doing all these shoulds in church when the reality is we need to receive first. Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty. Some of you today would say, yes, that's what I am. I'm thirsty. Jesus says, okay, I get that. I understand that. Let him come to me and drink. And then whoever believes in me, you're going to have the living water. Now, how often do you need to do that? I get a kick out of this sometimes. And people are like, And trust me, it's fantastic if you received Christ 40 or 50 years ago. I'm getting close to the 40 number, okay? But something has to happen between 40 years ago and now. We don't just receive one time. D.L. Moody was asked, are you filled with the Spirit? He said, yes, but I leak. Right? I mean, the reality is I've been filled a lot of times. But I'm human, and I got to get filled again because I leak. Oh, there's times where I just, I'm on top of the world. Everything's going great. And then I leak, and I need to get refilled. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians 5:18, where it says to be filled with the Spirit, the Greek verb there would say to be continually filled. We need to be replenished. We're just human beings. We get tired. There's times where we get cranky. Why? Because we leak. We need to get refilled. We need to get refueled by God. We need to receive first. The New Testament, Jesus tells us, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. God does not expect you to give away anything, but that he's already given it to you. Now, I want to give you just a couple handles here. This is the first one. Surefire path to burnout. Say yes to every request that comes your way. Everybody who asks you to do something, just say, yes, I'll do that. How many of us have gotten ourselves in trouble? Here's the classic. People say, can I ask you to do me a favor? How many of us know that we need to say, what is the favor first before we say yes? Okay. For Christmas, Heidi, in her stocking from Santa Claus, got a no button. And I told her, you can use it, you just can't use it on me, okay? All right? But you press it.
No!
It has a few variations.
No! 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 For the last time, no!
I'd still say she doesn't use it enough. I'm not mentioning me in there anywhere, but folks, we need a no button. Your yes is meaningless if there are no no's. If you do everything that other people ask you to do, you will be frazzled, you will be worn out, you will be tired. Why? Because you're doing everything that everybody else wants you to do, and sometimes we need to pause and say, God, what do you want me to do? And I think God's waiting for that because he wants us to say no to some things so we can say yes to the best things. I remember a number of years ago, it was summer 1990, I was buying my first house. I was doing a three-week mission trip to Haiti. Was home for 36 hours after driving straight through the night from Florida to get home. Went on our first junior high mission trip down to Appalachia. We took 60 teenagers out to Colorado for a week. Had a few days in between before. And also during that summer, I used to go on mission trips with this organization in Missouri. And I had such a great experience when I was out in Missouri that I still stayed in touch with a lot of the people from Missouri. As a matter of fact, the ministry that I'm a part of down in Haiti, I know those people from this short-term mission ministry in Missouri. And that summer of 1989, while I was going to Colorado, going to Haiti, and also going to Appalachia, also buying a house, doing a lot of other, I was single. I could not have done the things I did then if I was married. There's no way. But they asked me to be their morning speaker, and so 7 mornings in a row, I was the morning speaker, and it was an honor to be asked to do that, because I remember being a young college student sitting there, and those were such great times, and I remember some of the speakers, especially this one evening speaker, and it was a person that I looked at, and I thought, boy, I want to be like him someday. Well, I not only spoke in the morning, I wanted to get home for youth group, so I flew home from Kansas City to Chicago, did youth group, and then flew back to Kansas City that night so I could speak the next morning. When the summer was over, evaluations came in, and one of the great compliments that I've ever had in ministry was they contacted me and they said, you know, we have people do reviews, and the feedback from the students, from the people going on the mission trips, about 300 students who are going to about 20 different places around the world, was just really excellent. And God really used you, and we'd like to invite you to be the evening speaker next year. I can't tell you what an honor that was to be invited to be the evening speaker. It's hard to put into words, but try to think of something like you always thought, man, that's just like the most important thing you could possibly do. And they invited me to come back. But over the course of that summer, I learned a number of things. I was saying yes to too many things. I said, no, I can't do that next summer. Because God had already called me to take a group of teenagers on a mission trip, 2 groups of teenagers, and I already had more than a full-time job. I was thinking about this as an illustration for today, and there's still a part of me that thinks, oh. But I'll say this, that, and the reason that if I was successful in those morning sessions, it's because I so connected with those students because I was in their shoes a couple years earlier. And I so believe in short-term missions as discipleship, but also to change the world. But folks, sometimes we just have to say no. We cannot do everything. That summer, when that summer was over, I was frazzled. I mean, I was just wiped. We need to find ways to say no. Sometimes we've just got to do it. Second handle, take a day off. Now, some of you say, well, where I work, that's not an option, or whatever the case might be. Now, obviously, I'm not going to preach to you and tell you that you have to take Sunday off. That would be hypocritical, wouldn't it? Because I work on Sundays. But I believe that God has spoken very clearly from his word. As a matter of fact, it's one of the 10 that, as I like to say, he said, get this one in stone. As a matter of fact, I'll write it down in stone for you. Don't work on the Sabbath. You need rest. Now, I realize that for some of us, that might sound unrealistic, but I believe that the principle of Sabbath rest is valid and that we sometimes need to be creative how we find ways to rest. But no matter what part of your life it is, you need to give your brain a rest. You need to give your heart a rest. There's times where I'll be working on a message. There's times I just have to say, I'm putting that aside because I'm just hitting a dead end. And when I pick it up, I'll have a fresh look at it. Our bodies need rest. I can get into a habit of running every day, and I really shouldn't run every day. And one of the really nice things is when I take a day off, the next day it's kind of like, wow, my legs feel younger. I wonder why that is. Well, it's because he didn't run yesterday. How many remember Sammy Sosa? He used to play baseball, sometimes within the rules, sometimes not, but he played baseball. And he gets kind of an unfair rap because he seemed to get caught pretty badly with the whole steroid thing, and there was cork in his bat the one time at least. But anyway, Sammy, in his defense at one point, because, you know, he got pretty muscular. I remember when he played for the, remember when he was with the White Sox? He was pretty thin. He was little Sammy, and then he was big Sammy with the Cubs, slamming Sammy. But he said at one point, he's like, everybody's saying, you know, I'm taking steroids. He's just like, I lift weights every day. I work out every day. And it's like it was a dead giveaway to anybody who knew anything about steroids. It's like you can't work out every day. Your muscles need time to heal unless you're on steroids. He basically confessed that he was on steroids trying to justify himself. Folks, we need rest. Whatever it is, we need to get away from things. In farming, it's a good thing to let fields lay fallow. Read the Old Testament. God says there's times you just need to not plant anything. And trust me, I'll make sure that you have enough food to eat. I'll take care of that. But it's good for the soil to lay fallow. Sometimes we need to allow our minds, our hearts, our bodies to lay fallow. Jesus said in Mark 2:27, God did not make man for the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath for man. I think a lot of you know that the Jewish faith has come up with all sorts of rules of what you can do and what you cannot do on the Sabbath. It's a very lengthy list. And they got to the point where with Jesus, they'd be at the synagogue on the Sabbath. Someone would be there, and they had a shriveled hand or whatever. And they're looking at Jesus, and Jesus is looking at them, and he's thinking, I want to heal this person. And everyone's just like, oh, you can't heal on the Sabbath. That's wrong. Jesus was so frustrated with that mindset. He said, lift up your hand. It was restored. And then they want to stone him. You heretic! Jesus is just like, oh, how long am I supposed to be with you guys? You don't get it. If your ox fell in a ditch, you wouldn't pull it out on the Sabbath? This person created in the image of God has put up with this infirmity for all this time, and I can heal them. I will do what I see my Father doing. And he rested in his Father. We need to rest. We need to find creative ways not to be legalistic about it. And we need to find what works for us. Who thinks naps are a good thing? Praise God, you guys are on the right track. Okay, good. It's good. I had a friend, and back in 1986, I didn't used to take a day off. And then God started to talk to me about taking a day off, even though it was in the middle of the week and some things to do, and started to devote extra time to my family, to my mom, to do some different things. And I got together with a youth pastor buddy of mine, who's now very involved in missions, great guy, and I just remember talking to him about that, and I just asked, well, what's your day off? He said, I don't take a day off, and then I said something, he was bragging about it, just like, I don't take a day off, I'm too important, I do this, and you'd have to know him, and he's a pretty blunt guy, he's a character, he's a great guy, and so I just said, well, why are you bragging about your disobedience? And he's like, huh, what? I'm like, well, the Bible says you're supposed to take a day off. Let's not brag about our disobedience. We're so busy. We need to say no to some things. We need to take a day of rest, even if it's not Sunday, even if it's a half day here and a half day there. Do you know some draining people in your world. Don't name them, don't point at them, okay? Don't do that. But how many of you would just say you know some draining people in your world? Yes? Okay. We all have draining people in our world. There's people that just, I mean, I'll just be real honest. And you know, it's different because we're different personality types. So the one person would totally bless one person, but they could suck the life out of another person. I don't mean to be too dramatic or anything, but yeah, sometimes the life can be sucked out of you by another humanoid. It just happens, okay? Gordon MacDonald wrote a book a number of years ago called Restoring Your Spiritual Passion. And I'm not going to go into everything in this one section in the book, but one of the things he talks about is that there are people that we're going to find draining. His suggestion isn't stay away from them, run away from them like the plague. No, not at all. We're Christ followers. We want to give to those that we can give to. And sometimes when you're really feeling drained, it's because somebody else is really getting something from you. But I'll tell you what, if you look at your calendar, and you know your calendar, and you know your temperament better than anybody else does, and if not, you need to figure those things out. But if I look at my calendar and I realize that I'm going to be doing a bunch of things that are outside my comfort zone that are going to be draining to me, then I recognize that I'm going to need to augment that with some things that are really going to replenish me. And God more and more gives me a handle on the things that are going to replenish me. It doesn't mean that I say no to everything, but it means that I need to use the wisdom God's given me and not get to a point where I'm so frazzled I have nothing to give to anyone. See, that's the problem, is if we just keep giving and giving and I'm trying to help everybody, and then in the end, we're not helping anyone. And we're falling apart because we're burned out. But we need to make sure that, and let me challenge you with this. How many of us have mentors in our lives, and they're not people on TV or on the radio? It's good. I mean, people that you know, people that you can say, let's go get coffee. Do you know, and this is some of the stuff from Gordon MacDonald's book, we need to recognize who the people are that are going to be maybe a little bit more of a drain in our lives, okay? Or the activities that will be. Recognize that. But then also recognize the activities that are going to be pluses in our life. Recognize the people who are mentors to us, who speak positive things into our lives, and they build us up. Do you know what else we need? And men, this is probably more for us than it is for the ladies. Friends. Friends. People you get together with, and you don't need a sheet of paper. You don't need an agenda. You don't need to think, okay, I want the conversation to go here, because we need to accomplish these. No, just someone you enjoy being with. Someone that you laugh with. When was the last time you laughed till you cried? It is a good thing. It's a very good thing. God wants us to cultivate friendships. Why? See, one of the problems when we come to Christ and we want to give, is that in every relationship, we want to be the giver. And we want to fix other people. And we want to help everybody. And people start, you know what they start to feel after a while? That they're our project. That's not a very warm, fuzzy feeling. When people start to sense that they're a project for us, or that we have an agenda with them. Jesus, I really believe with the disciples, I think they were friends. I think they enjoyed being together. We need to find those people. We need to have people that we're really giving to. We need to have people that we're investing in. We need to find people who are willing to invest in us. And it may not be the people you think. And then we just need to have some friends. Handle number 4, take care of your soul. That's where I mentioned we're going to do this thing called soul food. You only get one soul. You don't get anybody else's. I know your wife gave you her heart, but she still has it too, okay? And she's responsible for her soul, and you're responsible for yours. You only get one. Are you taking care of it? There are things that the Bible says wage war against our soul. The soul is, it's an amazing entity. It's our thoughts, it's our emotions, it's our will. We are such complex, beautifully crafted creatures. Take care of the soul that God's given you. Don't wear it out. Don't put things in it that are not good for it. I had a chance recently to talk to Steve Bast, A lot of you know Steve. His father passed away a couple weeks ago. And he talked about, and I'm sure Steve would be fine with me sharing this. He talked about being with his father when he breathed his last breath. And he said, and then it was just so obvious that his soul was gone, that he was no longer there. He said it was something that strengthened his faith. I had a chance to be with the family, and the verse from Psalms comes to mind. How precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. When everything about us, all of our collective memories, our emotions, our mind, everything that will go on is translated from this body, it's separated, and it goes to be with the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. Take care of the soul that God gave you. You only get one. So here's the next handle. I'm trying to be a gardener this year. I'm going to start praying for these plants. I want them. I'm just afraid they're not really growing. I'm going to get better. So there's this. Heidi and I have been pretty good at killing plants. I'll just tell you. We don't like take knives out or anything, but we've killed a few plants. And we have this sequoia at home. And we've talked about it. We could put it in the backyard, and if it got to be as big as some of the sequoias, you know, 1,000 years from now, Wheaton could have a serious problem, okay? Some homeowners in the area, their houses would be moved by this tree. But I really don't think that's going to happen. But we've had this for a while. We've already killed one. We're on to the second one. And it's in this little pot. And it was doing really well. It was like green, and it was just verdant. It was just so cool and soft. And then I noticed that it just wasn't doing that well. And so we, you know, it's always give it more water. Oh, it's too much water. Stop giving it water. Put it in the sun. Take it out of the sun. I didn't want the thing to die. And then finally I thought, you know what? Maybe it needs more space for its roots. And so Heidi transplanted it. And now it's got like 3 times as much space. And there's a lot, you know, some good, nice soil down there. And do you know what? The verdant, soft, green life is coming back. There's still some of the brown stuff, but the green stuff's coming back. You know, we need to give room for our inner world to grow and prosper. I don't know what that's going to mean for you, but God has invested this soul in you. We need to give ways for it to grow. And here's the thing. It's not going to be seen by other people. And for some of us, our growth is stunted because we're not giving our inner person the chance to grow. And again, I don't know exactly what that'll mean for you, but God wants us to put our roots into him. It's the unseen. If you want a tree to grow up, it's got to grow down first. If you want fruit, it's got to grow down before it grows up. In your life, it's a spiritual truth. You have got to grow down, unseen, before it grow up. In Psalm 1, and I have it memorized, but I don't have enough faith in my memorization skill, so I'll go ahead and look it up. Psalm 1 speaks about this unseen strength, where it comes from. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, or on his word, on his principles, he meditates day and night. Now, some of you would say, well, I'm not really good at meditation. If you have a brain, you're a meditator. When was the last time you couldn't get a thought out of your head? When was the last time you couldn't get a song out of your head? You're meditating. Meditation is just going over stuff again and again. On his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I love that verse. Do you get the picture? Here's this tree. Other trees might be dying, but it's near this stream, and so its roots are going deep, and it's tapping into the resources. It's tapping into the water, into the minerals that can produce leaves, fruit, etc. That's what he wants to do in your life. But for some of us, we've allowed our growth to be stunted because we haven't cared for our inner person. We haven't taken care of our soul. You know, the thing I like to say about that sequoia that's just so crazy is that it has the DNA to be great. It's just this, it's about that tall. That's all it is. But it has in its DNA, given the right circumstances, it could be about as wide as this church building and about 1,000 feet tall. Or several hundred feet tall. Amazing. Largest living thing on planet Earth. You probably heard me say it. I'm convinced when we get to heaven, it's going to be the one thing where God said he made a mistake. It wasn't for this planet, way too big for this planet, way too old for this planet. They lived to be 3,000 years old. That's what's in its DNA. What's in your DNA? You have the same DNA that Jesus has because he has given you his spirit. If we give ourselves the chance to grow, our inner world can really grow. Finally, it's a real simple one. If you're too busy for God, you know the next three words. You're too busy. Something's got to go. We can't keep saying yes to everyone and say no to God. If you're too busy for God, whatever that means, I'm not saying you've got to be here every time the church doors are open. That's not what I'm never going to be preaching that. But if you're too busy for God, that's between you and him. If you're too busy, you are too busy. Because that's what really matters. At some point, we need to say no to someone, something, and not to God. Do you know, if you want a plant to grow, one of the most effective ways to help it grow? Cut off some of it. It's called pruning. Again, I'm no gardener, and I've had a track record of killing plants, so the last thing I want to do is take out a pair of scissors or pruning shears and start cutting it up. But you know what? Someone who knows what they're doing, they know how to do it. John 15 says that that's exactly the kind of gardener God is, and he wants to prune some things from our lives. What are some things we need to say no to? Just move them out, then we can be fruitful. Folks, burnout isn't about hitting the end of the day and being tired. Sometimes you can hit the end of the day and you are so bone tired and exhausted and you lay down in bed and you feel great. Tired, but great. Why? Because you were able to let the Spirit of God give you the energy to do the things and meet the challenges that are in your day. And God used you to touch some different people's lives. There's nothing wrong with being tired. And do you know what? The next day, we can get up and be continually filled with the Spirit of God. However you find a way to do that. And I don't want to try to dictate that to us. I know some of us would say, I'm a student right now. I'm going through a season. I'm a single mom. Some of us are going through seasons in life where it's going to be difficult. But it doesn't mean that God can't make us fruitful. I invite the worship team to come. We're going to close in prayer. The goal that God has for us, and just invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. I believe the goal that God has for us and the goal that you really want in your life. I really believe that most every person in this place wants to be a fruitful giver. We want to have enough to share with other people. We don't want to be a black hole. We don't want to be the person that's always taking. Christ comes into our life and we have his DNA, and so we want to give. Some of us have gotten to that point where we're frazzled, we're burned out. Lord, I pray for those of us that would say, that's me, I'm pretty crispy right now. It's not over. You've given us a soul that's eternal. Our minds, our hearts, you want to speak and flood life in. You want to fill us with your living water. If we just say today, Jesus, I'm thirsty. Some of us drank from the fountain of Jesus a year ago, 2 years ago, last month, but we need to do it every day. Tap into Jesus today. Tap into his strength, into his grace, into his empowerment. Father, I pray for those that are facing circumstances. It's that hupomeno thing. They're just remaining under something far longer than they ever thought they'd have to. I pray that they'd be reminded today that a diamond is simply coal that's been under a great weight for pressured years. And you're making us to be gems for you. Give us the grace in the midst of being under different things. Touch your people. Father, for anybody here today who'd say, I've never made a commitment to Jesus to be Savior, to be the one who forgives my sin, I pray that they would take you up on that today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. And then we'll sing a song.